Welcome to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here in the studio, along with Crown CEO and the host of Money Life, Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, it is Thanksgiving week, and we are staring down football games and turkey and the beginning of the Christmas buying mayhem this Friday.
Well, we go into a frenzy, Dave, and it's just unexplainable to me, our behavior this time of year, especially the day called Black Friday, when people line up at wee hours of the morning and try to be the first to break through the doors and grab all the sales. And that's just not appealing to me. Probably not many guys listening it appeals to. Most of the time, the women kind of get it, and I don't get it. But we try to minimize all of that in our family, Dave. And I grew up in an environment where my parents were incredibly generous, and we had lots of presents. And as I look back over our history and think about what Mom and Dad did to make Christmas so special, and I remember it was special to get a stocking with fruit in it. And we would get a coconut, we would get walnuts and oranges and things we normally didn't have around the house. And it was so special to us. But somehow, over the years, this materialism has crept in. And what I see is a real loss of gratitude. It seems like the more we give and the more we spend, it's never quite enough. Mm-hmm. And so in our family, we've ratcheted that way down. We give fewer gifts. We set a limit. And the kids know that. They know they're only going to get two or three presents from us, but they're going to be meaningful. Mm-hmm. And it's increased their gratitude, and it's increased the real focus of the holidays for us. And it's helped our budget a lot. And that's what we want to talk about today, so that we don't lose perspective and get in a lot of financial bondage over trying to express genuine love during this wonderful holiday season.
Well, for those that are listening who either have been out of work or maybe are still out of work, the holidays are very, very difficult emotionally.
Well, there's a tremendous amount of stress that's created and expectation that's created in every family. And we're going to talk about that today. And we're going to have a wonderful guest, Johnny McCoy, who's going to talk about gift giving on a budget. And she's an expert, Dave. She has some very insightful tips on how you can actually preserve the meaning of Christmas, how you can preserve your budget, but also accomplish the goal to tell somebody else near you, I'm thinking of you, and you are important to me, and not get under financial bondage. So I want you to stay tuned. I want you to hear what Johnny has to say, because it will be very helpful to you right now.
Well, in just a moment, we'll introduce you to our guest, Johnny McCoy. You are listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for His people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and our guest today is Johnny McCoy. Johnny is a best-selling author and an expert on shopping and frugal living, and you are one of the guest favorites of our listeners. Johnny, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Chuck.
Well, we are looking at Christmas fast approaching, and you've got some wonderful tips on helping all of us to keep the cost of giving down this Christmas season. Johnny, I know that we've talked about this in the past, that we all feel a lot of pressure when it comes to buying Christmas presents. And I think it's one of the reasons people feel depression, because they just can't seem to do all they want to do to express their love to other people. And you've got a lot of thought and insight on how we can actually keep the budget down by changing our perspective. What do you think we need to do to have a healthier outlook on gift giving?
Well, I think that the holidays tend to trap us into thinking that we need to show our love materially, whether that be the value of the gift or the number of gifts, how extravagant our parties are. We get caught up into the misbelief that money equates love, and we need to catch ourselves when we start thinking that way. So that is my first suggestion for people, is to stop and think, what is the purpose of Christmas? First of all, it's to honor our Lord's birth, and we need to make sure we keep that central. And second is that we need to make sure that we're focusing on loving our family and our friends and not trying to impress them with something that we're giving them. So by keeping that perspective in check, it's the first step, because our attitude directs our wallet. You know, what we do in our heart is what we do with our money. So we need to be able to remember what we're doing when we go out shopping and planning for those things.
You know, I can admit something here on the air, Johnny, that in the past, and I've been married over 30 years now, but in the past, I've not really known what to buy my wife. So I've made this assumption that if it cost a lot, it would be good. And I've actually gone out and done that a few times, only to find out it didn't mean any more to her than something that I would have just thought about in advance and done real careful planning about. But I did feel pressure to just do something great. And I found out that wasn't really meaningful to her at all. Spending a lot of money, in fact, wasn't fun for her, to find out that, you know, I was trying to tell her I love her through material things, and it just didn't work.
My husband and I both have that same issue, and we have to constantly keep that in check, because I think we just get naturally sucked into that belief. And sometimes we don't even realize we're there till after we've already spent something.
Well, and I also know that we feel a lot of pressure to buy a present for everyone in the family. Sometimes we're going to have a big family gathering, and it gets real awkward of, do you buy for your cousins and your nephews, or do you buy for all the in-laws? And how do you draw the line, and how do we know where to draw the line when it comes to giving gifts?
Well, the first thing that we do is make a list of everyone that we would have considered giving a gift to, or who we gave one to last year. And we have to be very thorough. Your neighbors, your teachers, Sunday school teachers, mailman, anyone that you give something to or gave something to in the past, make this long list and then take a look at it and realize, gee, if I bought everyone on that list something, I will be very poor. So then you have to sort of prioritize who should get a gift, who should get a card, and who should get something that you have made, you know, a baked goods or some other item that you're making for people. And then sort of prioritize it that way. Then next to each person that you're purchasing a gift for, set a dollar limit that you're going to spend on that person. And then total it all up. Make sure you can really afford that. If it's too much, start either reducing how much you're spending on people or taking some people you were going to purchase a gift for and replacing it with a heartfelt thank you letter or some sort of other alternative gift that doesn't cost as much money.
Well, let's talk about some of those thoughtful gifts that don't cost a lot of money. What are some of your ideas, Johnny?
Well, a heartfelt gift is something that someone's going to value much more than the expensive gift, like you mentioned earlier with your wife. She probably wanted to hear or see something that came from your heart rather than from your wallet. And it can be as simple as a heartfelt letter. My husband wrote me an awesome letter years ago that meant more to me than any other gift I'd gotten. And it can be something that simple. It can be framing a picture of the two of you together and writing a note with that. For people who are not quite as close to you, is that giving them a themed gift basket is very special, because it shows that you've thought about them. You pick a theme that is some interest that they have, whether it be, you know, book reading or hunting or camping or whatever their favorite thing is, and you put various things together in a little basket that revolve around that topic. And the basket itself can be a part of it. It doesn't have to be a basket. For example, if it's a child, it can be something for the beach if you live near a beach. And then the basket can be the bucket, and then there can be various things to do in it. If it's a college student, it can be coffee shop cards, phone, you know, long distance phone service cards, different coffees, you know, things that they would like or need while they're in college. You can go, the sky's the limit with that theme. You can just kind of go crazy with all of those different subjects. But trying to make it come from yourself, making it come from your heart, is really what the focus needs to be. And believe me, they will see that. And you may think, oh, that's kind of a hokey gift. But really, they feel it and they receive it.
Well, Johnny, I know that for most of us, there's going to be a certain element of shopping in all of this. I mean, we're just not going to be able to avoid going out to the stores and buying something. And I know that you're also an expert on shopping and how to shop. And do you have tips to keep spending under control once we find ourselves inside a store trying to make a decision on what we're going to buy?
I do. I actually have 5 quick tips to help the listeners today. The first one would be to really think about alternative ways of having to purchase something for everyone. That might be drawing names. You know, if you have a family that you could draw names for one another, and then each person gets 1 great gift instead of 5 medium gifts. Same with workers, co-workers, if you could draw names instead of, you know, purchasing something for everyone. A lot of people are very supportive of that, and that helps you whittle your shopping list down. The second tip would be for spouses to consider purchasing 1 large gift together for each other instead of an individual gift for each. So, like, for example, if you needed a new grill or something that you both would really like, let that be the gift to each other instead of 2 individual gifts.
So I could talk my wife into agreeing that we need a chainsaw for Christmas, right?
If that's her thing, go right ahead.
Well, Johnny, I was teasing about that, and I know you've got a lot more tips, so we need to talk about those when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back with more from Johnny McCoy.
The price of higher education has skyrocketed. According to a recent Gallup survey, families spend almost $15,000 per student per year of college, and many students often spend years just trying to decide which degree they need to pursue. Wouldn't it be better to help your child figure out what they need to study before they arrive on campus? You can, with the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries. Unlike other assessments that only examine 1 or 2 areas of career selection, Career Direct analyzes personality, interests, skills, and values. Your child can use it to explore career options and find the one God has uniquely gifted them for. Over 150,000 people of all ages have benefited from Career Direct. Check it out at careerdirectonline.org and get a free personality ID profile. That's careerdirectonline.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and our guest is expert on shopping and frugal living, Johnny McCoy. Johnny, you were giving us some tips on keeping our spending under control this holiday season, especially with the rush to get out to the malls and buy, buy, buy for Christmas. You were in tip number 3. Pick up there, wouldn't you, Johnny?
The most important thing before you shop is to plan. If you just pop into the mall and say, gee, I need to do all my shopping today, you will spend an inordinate amount of money. So if you can have a list of who you're buying for and what the general thing you're looking for, and that leads me into my 4th tip, which is stop shopping when your list is done. Don't continue to browse. There is a statistic that for every minute we are in a store or the mall, we spend $4. So every time that you spend any extra time browsing, seeing if there's a better something or an additional something, you will spend money. So you need to be a hunter-gatherer. You need to get in and get out with your list. And that list will also help you because, as we talked earlier, hopefully there's a sort of maximum dollar amount next to each person's name. And so it'll help you stay on track to have that list. The stopping shopping is also something that I have had trouble with in the past, where I will have finished my shopping, my list is done, everyone's got it, and then I go back to the mall a couple weeks later saying, gee, I wonder what else is out there. And then I end up overbuying and having too many gifts and too much debt. So it's very important that you stop once you have accomplished your list. My last tip has to do with how we pay for those items. Avoiding credit is just a general wise philosophy all year round, but especially at Christmas. And the way I have helped others think about this is to ask them, would you pay 21% more for that item than it is currently listed? And that's basically what you're going to do if you put it on a credit card and don't pay it off immediately. You will pay that interest, which is basically inflating the price of the item.
Yes, yeah, significantly inflating it. Well, I know that Black Friday is the biggest shopping day of the year. It's called Black Friday because that's when the retailers start making a profit. They get out of the red and into the black. And every year there are huge crowds. In fact, you can almost count on it that somebody is going to get trampled trying to get into a store on Black Friday to be the first when the store is open with all the great deals that are advertised. Are there really any advantages to shopping on Black Friday, or should we avoid the crowds and all the hoopla and find a different way to buy those gifts?
I personally hate Black Friday, and I avoid it like the Black Plague. So I am not a real advocate of it for a couple of reasons. One is when they have those amazing prices that they advertise on a couple of items, there are usually only a few of those items available. So unless you're one of those people that wants to stand in line starting at 3 a.m. waiting to be the first one through the door so that you can get the one or two of those things that are available, it's really not worth it. And the other question is, do you really need that thing that's such a great deal? Is it something that you really have to have, or is it just a want because it looks like a great deal? So usually by asking myself if I need it, the answer is usually no. And then the second is it worth it? Is it worth the extra hours of having to wait to be the first to be able to get one? And the, usually the answer is no to that as well. I'm usually exhausted from Thanksgiving the night before.
Yeah, I know. One of the things that I've done in the past, and it allows us to teach our children a lesson, is if something really is in limited supply, we cut out a picture of it from a catalog, put it in a card and say, this is your Christmas present. And when all the rush has died down and when all the sales are beginning to happen, we're going to go get it. But celebrate and be glad because this is your gift. And it teaches them a lesson in delayed gratification. If there really is a limited supply, we don't pay a premium for those things. And it's really helped in the past. But what are the best days for shopping? If you're not going to go out on Black Friday, when do you like to shop?
I try and get as much done as possible, like right about now. I try and get it done as early as possible because of the crowds, because there's usually last-minute things that hit my budget, like food purchases for the holidays and things, so I try and get as many of the gifts done early. Thinking forward into next year, I try and do my shopping throughout the year and try and encourage people to do the same. That there are ways that we can diffuse some of this spending from hitting just in November and December and try and spread it out through the rest of the year.
Well, I know the most important thing is to keep our focus on the Lord during this holiday season. And what do you do in your family, or what tips do you have for us to keep our focus on what's really important this Christmas?
In our family, we make sure that we celebrate Christ's birth before we even go sit by the tree or look at the gifts. We have a birthday cake for Jesus on Christmas morning, and we sing happy birthday to him. And then we pray and read some scripture, and then we go and enjoy each other's gifts. But we want to make sure we've tried all of our lives with our children to make sure they understand what the focus of Christmas really is. And when our children were younger, we used to ask them after Christmas to go and pack up some of their older toys or toys they're not using as much anymore, and we give those away the following day after Christmas. In Europe or in England, the day after Christmas is called Boxing Day, and it's boxing up your items, and that's what we try and encourage the kids to do. And then those are donated to a charity so that the children can see that it's not about hoarding gifts or getting gifts. It's about, you know, passing on things and sharing things.
Well, you can find out more about Johnny and her great advice at miserlymoms.com. But, Johnny, you and I disagree on the use of gift cards. And will you stay on? I want to talk about that when we come back.
Of course.
You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Tired of struggling to pay your bills every month? Not sure where your money's going? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't always to make more money. Often it's learning to manage what God has already given you. And Crown Financial Ministries has something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes is one of the most advanced online money management systems ever. It will help you easily create a home budget online in a secure environment and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you how much you have left to spend in any budget category. You'll have access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Our guest today is Johnny McCoy. And Johnny, we are in two separate camps when it comes to using gift cards. My position is they're a lousy substitute for a real gift, or better yet, they're a lousy substitute for cash. And here's my justification. 40% of them are never redeemed. So the retailers make a huge windfall every time they sell one of them and people lose them or forget to use them. Secondly, the companies that they're issued by could go bankrupt next year before you ever get to redeem them. And then finally, some of them have expiration dates, and before you realize it, they're gone. I mean, the whole thing is no longer usable, and I'm holding on to one right now that had a two-year expiration date, and I've got 1 month left, so I don't like them. Johnny, why do you like them?
I like them because there are such a variety of them out there that you can personalize your gift to someone. By saying thank you to someone with a gift card to a restaurant or a coffee shop that you know they frequent means a tremendous amount to them. I had a friend who, they came to our house and they accidentally broke something at our home and they repaired it for me. I wanted to thank them. Giving them cash or some other gift didn't seem appropriate. So I put some thought into it and knew he was an avid fisherman. So I went to the Bass Pro Shop, got him a gift card from there. He said that meant the world to him. So there's, if you put a little thought into it, you'll not only find the right one, you'll find one they're going to use right away, so it won't get left unused, and it won't expire.
Okay, well, I don't know if our listeners are on your side or my side, but it does seem a little impersonal to just send somebody cash, and you make a great point, Johnny. And you're a wonderful guest, as I've said so many times. Thanks for being with us on this program, and I hope you'll come back again soon.
It was my pleasure, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Chuck, so did you win that argument or not?
Well, I don't know. Our listeners are going to have to decide. By the way, did I convince you? Are you going to use gift cards this Christmas?
You know, I have to side with Johnny. I like using gift cards for a certain kind of gift, and so I'm sorry to tell you, I'm siding with the guest,
all right,
the host.
All right, maybe I lost, but maybe the compromise is that if you use a gift card, you will tell the person who receives it, be sure and use it. It might expire, or the company might go out of business.
Yeah.
Don't let it go to waste.
Absolutely.
You know, Dave, as we wrap up this program, I do hope that we're meeting the needs of our listeners who write and tell us that this is where they are, and this is what's on their mind, and that we're trying to deliver a quality program that ministers to them at their point of need. And I hope this year, as you think about giving gifts, as you think about all the blessings of the Lord, if we're one of those, that you will join us and be our faithful partner, that you'll send a financial gift to Crown Financial Ministries. I'd love to have you as one of our partners.
Well, you can send your gifts directly online to Crown Financial Ministries at crown.org, or you can call 1-800-722-1976, and one of our customer service representatives will be glad to talk with you. Well, that's it for today's program. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of Money Life.